No.
All right. Hello, and welcome to the first of three exciting NABW teleseminars that we're hosting this month, the first month of 2011. Our topic tonight is of special interest to authors and those who want to become authors. It is Profitable Authors Insider Secrets for a Profitable 2011. In a moment, I will introduce our guest, Rhonda Del Baccio, the story lady. But first, let me introduce myself and do a bit of housekeeping, if you don't mind. For those of you on the call who don't know me, I am Ann Holmes, the Boomer-in-Chief of the National Association of Baby Boomer Women, which is found online at www.nabbw.com. And we have a forum at boomerwomenspeak.com, which is spelled just as it sounds, Boomer Women, that's plural, speak.com. Our websites are the number one sites found via the major search engines when you search on the keywords baby boomer women. If you're not a member of the NABBW, and I know that a number of you on the call are not because, I promoted this to our membership. Rhonda, you were doing a wonderful job of promoting, and I did too, via Twitter and Facebook and other programs to other people who are authors. So there may be some of you who aren't familiar with the NABBW, so I'd like to tell you a little bit about the NABBW. You'll find a handy link on the front page of the site at nabbw.com to use in case you should decide to join us. This teleseminar is an example of one of the many benefits that we provide our members. We have approximately 90 teleseminars, which we've done in the past months, in years actually, which are available via written transcript and audio recording. These are yours with membership in NABBW. You won't see them on the website when you just call up the website unless you're a member, because they're archived in the members only area. Now, a little bit about the format of the call tonight. I'll be introducing Rhonda Del Baccio, our guest, in a moment, and she and I will spend about 30 minutes discussing her secrets for profitable authoring. After that, we will open the call to questions from the audience, and we hope that you will bombard us with them. And as I was alerting Rhonda earlier, many of you have sent in questions in advance, which is wonderful, and I have seen some wonderful questions coming to us, so I'm excited about that. Now, without further delay, let me please introduce today's guest, Rhonda Del Baccio, and we'll launch right into our discussion. Rhonda, the story lady, is an internationally published, award-winning author, speaker, mentor, and storyteller. She's been telling stories for ages. She says that she began telling stories back when she was a child, telling stories to her stuffed animals. But these days, having studied storytelling and realizing how powerful it is, she works with entrepreneurs and business owners worldwide, teaching them how to set themselves apart in their industry through storytelling and authoring. Rhonda has also been my friend for many years now and is one of our NABBW associates. Here at the NABBW, her area of specialty is entrepreneurial authoring. One thing you won't realize about Rhonda just from listening to her is that she is mostly blind. She has a guide dog, Molly, who last I checked has her own blog, so really talented dog, and Rhonda is grateful for the technology of this age that allows her, as she calls herself, illegally sighted person, to use the computer and work with her global audience. Rhonda, I believe, would have to say that she ended the year on a high note, at least I think so, as an author, because she has had two books go to number one position on Amazon.com during this year. One, her own book, The Peace Seed, and the second, a book in which she was a collaborating author. But Rhonda is not one to spend her entire days and nights writing. When she's not authoring books or writing her entrepreneurial authoring columns for the NABBW, Rhonda co-hosts an international radio show for entrepreneurs, mentors coaching clients, brokers joint ventures, and she says that she makes magic happen, so we'll have to find out if she'll tell us a little bit about that. Rhonda is the first author I've met who uploaded a book to Amazon's Kindle program, and she's become quite a fan of Kindle and e-books. In fact, she and I have a Kindle book uploaded to Amazon that I need to find time to start promoting. So, Rhonda, welcome to the call today. Before I launch into my questions, why don't I give you a brief opportunity to say something about your recent best-selling book experience? Having two bestsellers on Amazon in as many months, I think, is pretty amazing.
Yeah, Wow. I mean, I'm just floored. In both October and November of 2010, I became a best-selling author. And it's not, you know, the cool thing is I happen to know a few of the little insider secrets, and a lot of it was from spending, I don't even know how many hours because I didn't calculate, doodling around on Amazon, talking to different people, figuring out what some of the secrets were, and then I tested what I thought was true, and I discovered that basically almost accidentally I became a best-selling author on Halloween, which if you're going to do that accidentally is a great day to do it, I suppose. So on the 30th of October, which happens to be my mom's birthday, I discovered that I was within shouting distance of being a bestseller. And in book and publishing parlance, bestseller is anywhere in the top 10 in any category or overall. So I was at, I think 19 and 46 in two different categories, and I went, holy cow, I'm so close. It would be a real shame to let this wave ebb without giving it a little nudge. So a few phone calls and a few emails later, I found myself hitting bestseller on my mom's birthday, hitting about number 7 and 8 in two different categories, and on Halloween hitting actual number 1.
Cool.
And, by the way, beating out, let's see, a president, a past president, a Nobel Prize winner, and another double best-selling author for the time that I was bestseller. So that was very, very cool.
Oh, I know. When you told me that, that just,
I was
floored by that, but that was really, had my jaw on the floor.
I know, it had my jaw on the floor, and I went, holy cow. And the fun thing about it was that, see, the interesting thing, and I'll talk a little bit more about Kindle, but my book that became bestseller was Kindle. However, I'm also a bestseller competing my Kindle against print books, because I hit in the bestseller in a category with print books and Kindle mished together, not only Kindle. So that was extremely cool. I thought, wow, that really also tells us the direction that books are going, and especially given the headline on page 1 of the USA Today on Monday, January 5th, 2011. So anyway, that was very cool. But I don't mean that to sound in any way braggadocious, because if anything, it was just magical and surprising and fun and about as close to effortless as you can get, and very exciting, and something that can be repeated, because I know what I did to cause that to happen. And I'm not at all, I mean, some people that have done campaigns have been like, you dirty, rotten scoundrel. I spent months, blah, 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 getting partners, getting bonuses, blah, 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 on and on, and you did it over a weekend without even trying. That sucks. You
know? All right. Well, you did it, and I'm not going to say that there was anything but admiration that I have for you on it.
Now, oh, I know. No, but I mean, just to me, it sounds like, my gosh, you know, I'm a pretty humble person. I don't like to brag on myself, and it's not, you know, it's not that was is bragging to me. It was just so exciting and surprising, and it's really a lot of fun, and it does change the way you're perceived, because I, within a couple of days, had a call, and somebody was going on and on about books and whatever, and I said, I did just become a best-selling author over the weekend, and he went, you did what? You know, so he's like, oh, I just gained 100 esteem points in his head in 2 seconds with, you know, best-selling author coming across, mm-hmm. So... It will change you to have a book with your name on it. It will definitely change you. The other book that I'm a collaborative author on is called Celebrating 365 Days of Gratitude, and it's an awesome book. There are so many great stories. I've been having fun reading one each day, and just beautiful stories of gratitude and appreciation. And we collaboratively did a bestseller campaign, and so that was a lot of fun.
Now, in that case, there are 365 authors. Each of you contributed one story.
Well, there may have been one that maybe came in twice, but I think overall it was over 300. It was probably maybe 350 different authors who came in with a story, and maybe some people had a double. But you know, the editors and so forth, I think, did. But, yeah, it was for a lot of authors. And with everyone just doing a little, that's one kind of cool thing, is if you get several people who all have a good following and you each write a chapter, you know, even if there's 10, you don't need 360 people. Mm-hmm. 10, 12, 6, you know, with a following, each write a chapter, put it together, wow, powerful. You know, you can get places with that pretty quickly.
Absolutely. Well, one more thing, Rhonda, before we delve into the questions, I want to be sure to alert our listeners to the fact that you have a free gift for everyone on the call this evening, and you have mentioned to me earlier today that you have a contest in progress which will be of interest to our author and potential wannabe author listeners. So why don't I make time right now to have you tell us a bit about those two offerings before we get to the questions.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad you mentioned it now, because I might forget about it if you didn't. So,
well, we always have the chance that otherwise we'll get talking at the end and
run
out of time.
Very, very likely. So that usually happens. I can go on and on about authoring stuff. I love writing and books and authors and everything. I love all of you who write. I just adore you. Anyway, if you go to ProfitableStorytelling.com, which is my site, you'll see that there is a place for you to subscribe where you can, first of all, know about any of the cool contests and various things that I have going on, but you'll also discover how to connect with anyone through the power of storytelling. And no matter whether you write fiction, nonfiction, or even articles, poetry, whatever it is that you write, we have a lot of article writers, because I know from the opinion survey, lots and lots of article writers, like more than half, and, you know, some poetry writers and all that. But storytelling will help all of you no matter what you write. And believe me when I say you'll get much better response to your articles if you tell stories in them instead of just being dry 1-2-3 ABC type of a person. So go to ProfitableStorytelling.com and you'll pick up a 5-part class that'll help you tell really powerful stories and connect with anyone.
All right.
And if you go in the contest, it's called Extend Your Reach, and all of the things in the contest will help you extend your reach toward any of your goals. You'll notice that you earn points and you can win prizes, and it's for things like commenting on videos, liking a Facebook page, doing various things, and all of these posts are inspiring, uplifting, and meant to help you bring out the very best in yourself, and that's at ProfitableStorytelling.com/contest. So let's help these authors, Anne. What do you say?
Oh, I'm excited to do that. So let's not make them wait anymore. Let's get right into the questions here. First of all, you know, anyone who has published a book knows that writing and publishing a book is a significant accomplishment and brings with it a number of benefits, but financial wealth is not a guarantee. So one of the things that I've been impressed with your knowledge, Rhonda, is that you have so many ways that you've been able to show me during the years that we've known each other how you can take the fact of being an author and then go the next step to move yourself toward being a profitable author. So let's start with the first question that we promised to answer here, which is, could you talk a little bit about the fastest way to write a nonfiction book? Because, you know, you often have told me that you have 3 books in progress or you publish 3 books in a year or something like that, and yet we all know people that work on books for 5 years or something and never get it published. So how can it be fast?
You know, I talked to, and you know these people, Judith and Jim, who are best-selling authors several times over, and I don't recall the name of their first book. Their recent one is The Heart of Marketing, Love Your Customers and They Will Love You Back.
Mm-hmm.
And they are both psychotherapists, and they are a husband and wife couple. And they wrote a book together some years ago, and you'll know why I'm telling you this story in a second. But when I did a presentation to the Soft Sell Marketing Association, which they have founded and run, they were saying how they labored so much over their first book that it took them years. And some of the tips that I was sharing, they said if they had known this and had that kind of guidance when they were actually starting out, it would have made an enormous difference in the particular results that they got and how quickly and much less painfully it would have been to write. So what I want anyone who wants to write a book, nonfiction, poetry, whatever, even fiction, to be honest with you, is that you can write more than one. And realize that your book is not a baby. It's not a child. And your book itself is not a business. Your book is a doorway to everything else. And so why not think of, get your first one up and out there. You can always write another. You don't have to think that I have to put everything in my heart and soul into this one book. Don't ever think that way, because you will end up getting in your own way and falling all over yourself in the way, along the way.
I know that's definitely was my experience. When I first started writing, I had this concept that I was going to write a book that was, you know, how to start an online business, and it was going to be an encyclopedia of everything that I had ever learned or I could glean from other people, that I would pull together into one big encyclopedia about this, and that book never has made it to publication.
Yes. You know, I have an aunt like that. She thinks she's an encyclopedia, and I sometimes call her Aunt Britannica because she thinks she knows everything. And, you know, and we'll leave the encyclopedias to the encyclopedia people, Britannica and all those others, because nobody wants to read that, an encyclopedia. If we look up, even if we go to like Wikipedia online or to some other thing that's like that, that's like a big compendium, we're going to read one or two articles. We're not going to sit there and read an entire several hundred pages, unless it's a novel. I think any of us who have read Harry Potter know that one can be induced to read 700 or 1,000 pages, but not in nonfiction generally.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, if you try to write like the ultimate tome on your particular area of expertise, you will not only be writing for a long time, you will start to be drinking your own Kool-Aid, as Brendan Burchard would say, and you'll start to be thinking more of your knowledge and less about the people who are going to be served by what you write. So that brings me back to the question, if that's the case and we don't want to put in too much, then what's the fastest way? Why not leverage what you have already done? If you have articles out there in article directories,
mm-hmm.
there is nothing at all stopping you, in every good reason, to go ahead, collect those articles, assuming that they're meaningful and on the same wavelength with each other. I don't mean put in like gardening along with cats and building your business or something like that, but if they make sense, why not collect some of them, put them together in a meaningful way that will serve your audience, and go ahead and get that up onto Kindle and get that up into a book. It doesn't prevent you from doing anything with a publisher down the road, or doesn't prevent you from getting an agent. If that's the road that you want to go, mm-hmm. you can still do any of those things. Just because you put out one book the fast and easy way, that's fine. There are several really easy ways, but I would just say that kind of scooping up the articles that you already have, pick them up off your blog, turn them into a book. And if you don't think that's a good idea, go ahead and take a look at ProfitableStorytelling.com, which has over 1,000 articles on it, and realize that I've written two books off of those articles.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you did happen to see that some article was, gosh, I think that's a chapter in her book, you wouldn't be put off by it, because it still is just as relevant. And you're actually doing somebody a favor if you scoop up all the related articles and put them into a book, then they don't have to go hunting and searching, right?
Oh, exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, so let yourself have the freedom to say, why don't I use what I already have?
Mm-hmm.
You can easily get a book put together, you know, like in the next 2 hours if you wanted to, if you already have some stuff out there. You can easily scoop it up, put it into a document, and make it look reasonably nice, and get it up onto Kindle, and it can actually be for sale. This is Thursday. It could actually be for sale maybe over the weekend or Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, 3 or 4 days. So it's not that you don't have to make it this big, hairy, drawn-out, ponderous deal. So.
Right. Well, I would assume that if you're going to make it available for sale that fast, that you must be going to publish it as an e-book, because I would think, you know, the whole concept of turning it into an actual book that you can hold in your hand is going to...
Well, that would take 7 days.
Right. Okay. Well,
yeah,
you have...
I mean, I did actually go from scooping up stuff to create a book to have it published in print in 7 days, and with a copy in my hands. I don't even just, you know, and having that copy then up for sale and available on Amazon.com. So that can be done, too. It doesn't have to be long. You can put something up. And I'd love to give a really awesome insider tip to people.
Mm-hmm, great.
If you happen to not have, let's say that you go, well, I don't have a lot of articles, or you go, well, I'm just kind of starting off, maybe I have a business but I'm kind of new, or maybe I just have a special report I give out on my website or something, there is nothing in the world stopping you from taking that same 7 or 10 or 20 or whatever page report that it is and putting that up onto Kindle, sell it for 99 cents, use it to generate leads. Then you already have a buyer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and even if it's a short thing, it can be 99 cents, it can be $1.99, it can be $2.99. It can be $115 too. It doesn't matter. There's all this freedom that you have. But why not get something up and out there to help give you a presence, because Amazon.com is a very high-ranking site. It can give you some great visibility. And if what you're doing really hits a need, mm-hmm. you can get a lot of leads that way.
Well, now, let me ask you this, because I don't know this. With Kindle,
right.
How much of the price that, you know, Amazon is going to charge my buyer 99 cents for this hypothetical book we're talking about, how much of that 99 cents do I get to keep?
There are two different commission structures for Kindle.
Mm-hmm.
At a rate of 99 cents, let's just say that you have, let's pretend you have like a 7 or 8 page report, and at the back of it is your, you know, website and maybe another product that would make sense, or a, you know, get something else over here type of thing. You're on a 99 cent thing, you're going to get 35 cents about 32 cents maybe.
Okay.
On the other hand, you're using it for a lead generator. No, you're not really going to get rich on it.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, if it's just a report that you are using as a free report, or it's something small, and you can use that to get a pre-qualified buyer for, you know, a buck of cost on their part,
mm-hmm.
and you generate leads, and say that you have then a product up on Kindle, it's going to give you a lot more in terms of the stuff that comes along with
mm-hmm.
being an author than worrying about the 32 cents or whatever. Some of this, there are some things you'll make a 70% commission, and some you'll make a 35%, and it just depends on the pricing of the product.
Okay.
So you get to choose how you place it, and you can change the price, and you can do all those types of things. So I put the Peace Seed with a $4.95 retail, and I put it to 99 cents for a while. That's when I found I was on the bestseller wave.
Mm-hmm.
I rode that wave. I hit bestseller. I left it that way for about another week, and then I raised it up to retail.
All right.
So you can do that stuff too. And that then changes the commission structure. Now I can get 70% of that $4.95 instead of 35 cents of a buck.
Mm-hmm.
So,
all right. Well, I know that, you know, 99-cent books are never going to make anybody rich, but since we were talking about, you know, the concept of becoming profitable, I just had to ask what the structure was for
profitable
that.
Has a broader definition. There are a lot of people, in fact, I know of somebody who basically says, I'm just going to kind of fold in on myself and focus on my book
mm-hmm.
and, you know, kind of not do as much out in the business world, even though she's kind of established in what she's done. And I'm like, oh, warning bells are going off for me, because the book in and of itself is not what's going to bring you the profits.
Mm-hmm.
What makes you the profitable author is not, I mean, yeah, you sure, if you are J.K. Rowling, you're a very profitable author. But even she has other things like those amusement park royalties and
right.
all those other
yes.
things go along. She has not only book royalties.
Mm-hmm.
And so since most of us are not, you know, Stephen King or J.K. Rowling or President Bush or somebody like that who has a lot of fame and glam attached to their name, what's really going to make you profitable is the what else goes along with the book. What else you got? You got some kind of coaching. You've got home study programs, other products. And I don't only mean having a $9 CD or a $47 program. It's you really want to have some other things going on. The book is a point of leverage for you as an author when you have a book out there. It's a leverage to say that you're an author. And then when you can say number one best-selling, that just puts you in the stratosphere.
All
and
right.
frankly, it doesn't matter how many you sold to get there. That's not even so much the point.
All right. Well, now, we also promised people that you would answer the question of the fastest way to publish free. So let's move on to that, since obviously with Amazon,
Well, Kindle, that's it. I mean, that is a very fast way. You can have a Kindle book up in a matter of 2 or 3 days. I was trying to think of how long the last Kindle took me, and it might have been less than 48 hours. But, you know, if you just call it 3 days for the sake of argument.
Mm-hmm.
So that is free to publish on Kindle. It's very fast. And the other thing about that to know, see, I do not own a Kindle.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot even use a Kindle, to be honest with you, for the most part, because some of the books have some kind of audio, but it's really not designed for blind people.
Mm-hmm.
However, I'm a really big fan of Kindle now that I have a bestseller on it. But one thing I do appreciate is that a person does not have to own a Kindle to use it. When you go on to Amazon, you will see that there are Kindle apps for, you just got an iPad. You can get a Kindle app for your iPad.
Okay.
For the iPhone, for the BlackBerry, for the Mac, you know, Mac computer, and for the PC computer, all of those things have a free application or app that you can read any book on Kindle using it. So you just get the app first, and then you can go shopping in Kindle to your heart's content. So that's fast, and that's free, and that's definitely the fastest free way to get yourself published. And it has anymore. It used to be that if you said you were just an ebook author, it really didn't hold any weight.
Mm-hmm.
Well, basically in 2010, that whole tipping point thing happened, and that totally changed. Now the Kindle books and the print books are playing in the same sandbox, and you can have a bestseller in electronic Kindle version that can actually beat out print books or be in the same category and can beat them out. So they don't make a distinction that, well, here, you're just the ebook authors over here. You don't count as much.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's everybody's playing in the same sandbox together.
Excellent. All right. Oh, well, any other ways to publish at low cost that we should talk about now, or shall we move on to our next question?
Well, there are other ways to do it, but I will say for somebody who goes, you know, I really think that being an author of something would help. The other nice thing with Kindle is it doesn't have to be 200 or 300 pages or 100 pages or 80 pages. You really can put out something that's 10 or 20 or 50 pages if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would be reasonable on what you want to charge for it and, you know, use your head on that stuff, but you don't have to. Like, you can literally put out a 10-page something, you know, booklet or whatever, mm-hmm. on Kindle and still have it be considered a book just like anything else. And even in print, you can't really do that and get it published because for bookstore placement needs 48 pages, and the minimum for something to get published is generally 32.
Okay.
Which still isn't much.
Right.
But, you know.
All right. Well, when we're talking about short things that we'd like to publish, that also brings me to the concept of articles or stories as opposed to novels or whole
books. Yeah.
So let's talk about... How can I find places where I can submit my articles and my stories?
Okay, so as far as where to submit, because when I did the survey, that was a really big question that people had. So there's a couple of ways that you can go about figuring this out. One of which is that Writer's Digest has this thing called Writer's Market, writersmarket.com, and I think it's, oh, I don't know, $30 or $40 a year, and you can have this whole compendium of things that you can pay for. So if you don't want to spend $40 a year, which I personally haven't really done that, but, you know, it's a good resource. It's a very high-quality resource. You can also just do a Google search for the type of, like, seeking submission plus whatever, short story or article, and the type of genre. So you can certainly do it that way. If you know of a particular periodical or place that you'd like to be published, you can simply go, like, let's say you wanted to be published in Redbook, and you go, gosh, that'd be cool, but I don't know how to do that. Well, you just can Google, I love Google, Redbook submission guidelines,
mm-hmm.
and boom, it'll take you to whatever that page might be for Redbook submission. So if you know a specific place, you can just either poke around the site or just go to Google and go, you know, that place plus story submissions or just plus mm-hmm. submissions. And just by snooping around Google, you can do that. There's also a couple of forums that tend to have some listings for places seeking authors, and one of those is writersweekly.com, writersweekly.com.
Okay.
They have a weekly magazine. They have all kinds of free listings for places seeking authors for various things. And then Absolute Write, W-R-I-T-E, absolutewrite.com. They also have forums and so forth. And they have a category for all of those types of things. And so that you'll be able to see the submissions. And those sites also are kind of nice because they tend to have little warnings about if some place doesn't like to pay and all of that. You can check that out because, like anything else, just because it's on the Internet doesn't mean that it's true, good, valuable, or nice, or that they'll treat you well.
Right.
I mean, you know, Red Book Magazine is on the up and up, but that doesn't mean that everything is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so just be judicious and make sure to take a look into that. So there is a resource. I hope you guys have a pen out because, you know, I'm just kind of rattling these things off pretty quickly. There is a resource called Predators and Editors. And I made a link to that because it's a funky, hard, you know, it's not like easy to say. So I put that up at profitablestorytelling.com/P&E.
Ah.
P is Predators, the word A-N-D, and then the letter E like editors.
Okay.
ProfitableStorytelling.com/P&E, and you'll then see they talk about agents and publishers, and you can kind of see whether they're on the up and up. Because
mm-hmm.
one thing I've had happen is somebody goes, wow, I've had three publishers contact me because they caught wind I was writing a book. And I went, okay, my hackles are already up. And then he showed me something, and it's just some stupid company with marketing, and they're trying to sell them a $10,000 package. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't like some real wonderful outfits. So just be aware that those things are out there as much as I wish they weren't.
Mm-hmm.
So those are how you can find places to submit whatever it is that you write, and that's going to be for whether it's stories or articles or whatever it might be.
All right. Well, what if I decide that I don't have time to do all that research myself, so I would like to connect with an agent and have the luxury, at least for me, it would be a luxury to have an agent who could handle some of that for me. Can we talk a little bit about how to connect with an agent?
Yes, we can. Now, I will say I do not have an agent, so I'm just being very forthright. I do not have an agent because agents take you to places where your work you're going to lose all the rights to.
Mm-hmm.
Because in standard publishing, you're not going to retain rights. That's not true if you do Kindle and Amazon, you know, some of those other types of things that are available and that are very affordable. However, you know, just be aware, if you get an agent, yeah, that may seem a luxury, but it's like many things. Getting an agent is about as easy, haha, as getting a publisher, neither of which is particularly easy. So the best ways that I know to connect with an agent, and I have actually interviewed with several, because I met them at live writers' conferences.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the thing to know about an agent is I have talked to several. And what you need to know is it's a little bit like a job interview, that it's not only about whether you're the fit for the agent, it's whether they're a fit for you. There's this one New York agent. She's very prestigious, and I had an appointment with her to have her look at something, and she turns out she did not want to take me on, but I kind of was like, after talking to her for a while, I said, listen, even if this lady wants me, she would drive me nuts and I would be ready to strangle her in 15 minutes because that's pretty much how I was in the interview.
Mm-hmm.
So I went, well, if I feel this way about her now, how could I have an ongoing long-term working relationship with her?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so yes, what you do has to be the right fit. And just sending out a bunch of, you know, random letters and stuff is probably not going to be the best way to do it. So connecting, if you go to writers conferences, they will online, if you Google writers conferences or you look in the magazines that say which ones are coming up, if they're going to have an agent at them and that agent accepts your genre and you just do a little bit of research on them and they'll usually tell you. Well, and if, you know, if like if they take Christian fiction and you write, you know, horror, that's probably not the good fit.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously finding a good fit in terms of your the type of writing, the genre, but also really get to know them as a person. Now, I heard another agent speak at a different writer's conference, and this person, God, if I had listening to her for 5 minutes, I was ready to fall asleep. And I said, this is not really a nice, high-energy, go-getter type of person. I feel like, a tortoise would get me better mileage than her, so I couldn't work with her.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't even bother trying to interview with her. It's like, no, this is just not a good fit, I can just tell you. So make sure that it's a fit not only for the type of writing, but for your personality, and you'll get a pretty good feel if you just kind of think about it. You'll have at least a reasonably good feel if you get to either hear them speak or if you get to talk with them for a while about your project. And then just if they do take you on, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get published. So
mm-hmm.
just kind of be aware of that. They still have to shop you around.
All right.
And everyone's going to want to know how much of a platform you have.
Mm-hmm.
How much of a following do you have? Agents as well as publishers. So, and as much as many of us would love to just stay off in a little cabin and write and let someone else take care of that, it's not in an age where that's really possible anymore.
Okay.
You can't just throw something over the transom of a publisher and they discover you and, you know, miraculous things happen. It just isn't a very likely thing to go on. So just be aware they're all going to want to know, do you have people who pay attention? Do you have a community? Do you have a fan base?
Mm-hmm.
My cats are going nuts.
I'm sorry.
They're making all kinds of noise. Okay.
How can you determine how large your fan base is?
Well, thinking about things like Twitter and Facebook, thinking about do you have a subscriber list, a buyer list, clients, connections to people, they don't only have to be, subscribers and Twitter followers, but if you have some pretty good connections, if you could hop on a phone, make a dozen phone calls and know that you could get people to either mail for you or to help you promote something, you know, that's going to be what is your reach. So
mm-hmm.
you kind of add up those types of things through, your LinkedIn and Facebook and all that, any subscribers as well as any contacts that you might have. And there are a few people I know, if I said, hey, so-and-so, I've got this coming out, could you promote on a given day or, could you do whatever, they would probably do it. So you can count all of those in whether you have a following. And, of course, with NABBW, there's a little bit of a built-in following.
Mm-hmm.
But just because there are 7,000 members, that doesn't mean that they're all going to see your one forum posting and buy
right.
your book.
I know that.
Be aware of that kind of thing, too. If we weren't in the forum that one day that you decided to post, we may not see it. So,
right. Okay. Well, now, if I'm going to then decide that, I don't want to have an agent, I'd rather do this on my own. Do you have any advice on how much time a person ought to spend doing the research of finding the places to submit articles and work versus doing the actual writing?
Well, I think at times when I was putting in a lot of magazine type of submissions and whatever, the biggest thing is going to be consistency
mm-hmm.
and circulation. And the same thing, it doesn't really matter what you're trying to publish, be it a book or articles or stories. So, you send out maybe Monday is your day to send out queries and you do some research and part of the week you're writing and then there's a different day, another day maybe when you go through and, tally up the responses and see what you're going to send. So a lot of it is consistency and just getting a system to track. If you do get Writer's Market, one of the cool things that is a part of theirs, because I have had that in the past, is if you do submit somewhere, you can put something into their particular system that will tell you, okay, I submitted to so-and-so press on such-and-so date, and, the usual wait time is X amount or whatever, so that you can keep track of what came in and out. You can also just make yourself a spreadsheet to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Either way. There's just so much available through search engines and whatever, but I do like the Writer's Market, so if you have that, avail yourself of that tool. But just try to keep a good system and make it as easy as possible. So have some kind of a spreadsheet or a document where you can keep track of when did I send this, what did they say, what came back, and expect a lot of those little, F you very much letters coming back.
Mm-hmm.
They will happen to everybody, rejection letters. So
right.
they will happen. And just that consistency, like anything else, it's really the same in business. It's the same in story submission, in article submission, for magazines, in finding a publisher and finding an agent. There's going to be an amount of going out there. So I know that one of the things people said is they had trouble finding the motivation to write. I mean, to me, it's like, oh, let me at it. I learned that dust bunnies are cute.
Mm-hmm.
You know, lay out the ingredients in the cookbook and let your hubby help you cook dinner or whatever, you know, get your kids to be better on their chores, whatever it takes. But definitely give yourself that, because if you are called to write and you feel like you have something inside of you, definitely get it out. And don't sit there and edit. You kind of asked about, you know, the time for research and submission. I think where people really shoot themselves in the foot is they write something and then spend 3 weeks diddling around with it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I learned a long time back from somebody who makes a full-time living at writing is he said, listen, write a story, send it out, and don't edit it unless somebody offers to pay you or says, I will pay you if you do X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. In which case you go, okay, and you can then fiddle with it. But get used to writing one draft. I mean, I'm not saying you've got to spell check it and, you know, let it sit for a day and take a peek at it. But don't sit there and mess with it too much. So, you know, kind of let yourself realize that whatever you put out the first time and then just that one little swoop through to check it out and then start letting it go out into the world fearlessly and with joy and vigor. You'll feel much better about yourself. And that's where you'll start building those publication credits. And you don't only realize that, you know, it doesn't have to only be Redbook or a national magazine. It's those little credits at first. And maybe the first thing is, my first paycheck for writing was a magazine for seniors. And I took an article that I had written for something else. I reworked it. I sent it in. They paid me $18.
Okay.
It was my first writing credit. And so, you know, don't only look to O Magazine and Redbook and whatever the national things are, just because there are other places. And a lot of times it's that the same thing with being on television. You can't expect to be on national necessarily without having some opportunity to get accustomed to it on a local level.
Right. Well, I've had some good experience. I don't know what you think of this. You and I have never discussed this, but I've had some good experience with taking some of my articles and getting them published in other boomer publications, print publications. And quite often what I'll do is I'll start out and I'll offer to trade them. I'll submit an article to you in exchange for you give me a free ad. And then I use that free ad to promote the NABBW. But, you know, a person could trade that, you know, the free ad for anything that you want to promote. I mean, it's not representing cash in my pocket. I can't go and buy groceries with it, but if I was going to buy that ad would have a value. You know,
Well, everything has value. You know, and you either pay for everything with time or with money or with whatever. And so I think that's great, especially if you already have something and you can either recycle it or just give it a little spit and polish and resubmit it slightly differently. Then it's, I call that literary mulch. You don't have to redo an entire new thing. Get the best use out of it. And if you can use one story idea in 10 different ways and earn in 10 different ways, whether that means barter or cash or prestige or your very first writing credit or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, if you haven't written anything at all that's been published, it's just important to get your first writing credit wherever that is.
Exactly.
And everybody that I know that's a big-time writer, and I've know a number of them and have met a bunch of them at conferences and whatever, I haven't heard one person that said, oh, yeah, my first thing was some big hoo-ha national thing. It's a lot of it's the local stuff where they say, oh, I was in, you know, an article in the local newspaper first, or I was in some regional magazine first or whatever, and they went on.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, I'm looking at our clock here and making sure that we still have time to get all people's questions in here. But I've got a couple more questions before I open this up for the questions from our audience.
And I'm okay to stay a little late if that helps. So.
Well, that's good with me. I hope that works with the people that are listening, too. If not, we're recording the call, and they can come back and catch it on the recording. But let's talk about Insider Secrets on Getting Motivated to Write, because I know, you know, quite often I talk to people who tell me, you know, yeah, I'm going to write that, but, you know, they just can't ever seem to get around to doing it.
Mm-hmm. One thing I know that a lot of people do is they talk all the energy out of their project. So if somebody tells me, I'm going to write a novel or a story about, I'll be like, okay, wait, just hold on. I don't want you to say too much about this, because it's better if you actually write it than you tell me that you're going to write it. Because I've known people who have told 15 people, I'm going to write this story about a blah, 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 who blah, 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 and then blah, 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 and then da-da-da-da-da, and then blah, 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 blah. And they've talked so much of the energy out of it that there's, like, nothing left for the page.
Mm-hmm.
And it really, I've seen it happen so much. So I think that's one of the biggest things is, if you're going to write something, well, for goodness sake, sit down and write it. You know,
besides, if you keep telling everybody what you're going to write about, you know, somebody's going to write it for you, you know, with their name on it.
Yeah, and I mean, there are, and never be concerned if somebody's written a similar story, because how many, the last person that I had, oh, I think like a character name, I said, well, that's a character in so-and-so. I said, yes, and how many John Smiths are there, and how many Mary Frankels are there, and, you know, it's going to happen. And how many versions of Cinderella are there? There's lots, and so if you want to do a twist on it, there's nothing wrong with that. But don't assume that you're the only one who can write of this particular idea. You're just the only one who can write it in your way.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the biggest thing for motivation is just get out of your own way, get the thing on paper, submit it somewhere. You know, you're not going to be a fantastic writer at first. I have put years of working on it, submitting and learning and making what I do better and whatever. And so for some people it can seem, well, some people just can do it so effortlessly. Well, yeah, but, you know, you can do a lot of things effortlessly when you've been doing them for a long time. So you can cook a meal effortlessly. If you've cooked a meatloaf 500 times, you can do it like half asleep.
Right.
You're so used to it. You do it pretty much the similar way. And with writing, of course, the stories are different. But, like, here's an example, and I know we're talking about motivation, but it's just let yourself play and have fun with it. There is a 24-hour short story contest that writersweekly.com does 4 times a year. I think there might be one coming up in January. Anyway, they're at writersweekly.com. They'll let you know about them. And it's like $5 to enter. Now, I've entered this contest a few times. The first time I entered it, I was like, well, how do you prepare for it? You don't know what the topic is going to be. You can't pre-write anything, obviously. Mm-hmm. You have no idea what it is. And so all you can do is, you know, get a good night's sleep and get ready. And I remember that the first time I did it, it took me 3 or 4 hours just to figure out what I was going to write about. And I had 24 hours to turn in a complete story,
mm-hmm,
of like 1,000 words or whatever. They give you the limits and all that stuff. The first time it took me 4 hours to get the thing, and I was up probably half the night writing and kind of early the next morning, you know, polishing it off and whatever. Well, then one time I had entered, I didn't know I'd missed the deadline for the summer, so I got put into the fall. So Sunday morning, about 3 hours before the competition closed, I hadn't read my email the day before, and I was away from my house. So I totally didn't even think about it. And all of a sudden I go, oh, here's this 24-hour contest. Well, I mean, I could blow it off because $5, you know, not a big deal. Or I said, well, I got about 2 hours before my friend's coming to pick me up to go out. I guess I could write a story and submit it in 2 hours. So I looked at the thing. I got my idea within a few minutes, and I wrote it, and I submitted it in about an hour and 48 minutes, or down from, you know, most of the 24 the first time. So what I'm saying in that is you can just learn to expect yourself to be on, and that will help you if you just sit down and write and just let whatever comes out. So, I mean, as far as the motivation, to me, part of it is you have to decide what's important to you, just for anything. I don't care if it's losing 5 pounds, if it's writing a short story, if it's cleaning your windows. Something is either going to motivate you or it's not. And so you have to decide when it's a priority. You will find time for it. And people that whine and gritch and moan that they just can't figure out how to get motivated to write, I go, well, when's the last time you actually sat down with a pen and paper or a computer and said, I am going to write. I don't care if you write See Spot Run. I don't care if you take a word out of the dictionary and just start spinning off of it first or whatever. Get yourself with the right tools, with either your butt planted or your feet planted or whatever, and start writing something and see what happens and let yourself surprise yourself and have some fun with it.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Now, what about the concept of once I let myself have fun and get that one article, you've promised us that you can tell us how you can almost effortlessly turn one article into 1,000, and you've got my ears open on that one.
I thought I might. Yes, I'm a big fan of leverage. I'm a big fan of what can we do that will make things faster, easier, less efforted, whatever, less having to work on them. And it's very funny because somebody earlier today said, we're all working in this hub website together, and she said, I get every day at least 2 people saying, I don't know how Rhonda gets everything done that she gets done. She must never sleep. And I'm like, well, no, I actually sleep. I actually have a life. I play with my animals. I usually right about now I'm sitting on the couch with my cats sitting, and that's probably why they're restless, because they're like, why are you not just sitting here letting us maul you? You know, so I do have a life, and I do sleep, and I do not work all the time. But I make as much things. There are some things you can either automate or cause one action to make many things happen. There's a way to do that with articles. And my particular favorite tool for that, and there is a cost to it, but I really think it's reasonable for what you get,
mm-hmm.
okay? It's called Submit Your Article, and you can find that at profitablestorytelling.com/articles. And Submit Your Article, one of the things it will do is you write an article once, and you put it into the system. By the way, do this in plain text rather than like MS Word or some other word processor. It'll just save you heartache. So you write your article once, get it into plain text, make sure that there's no funky, goofy characters in there and all that. Put it into the Submit Your Article system. They can walk you through this thing called article leverage.
Mm-hmm.
Article leverage, you can have it guide you through rewriting some of the paragraphs. So to me, if I spend 1 hour writing an article, I usually spend about 1 hour doing article leverage. Now, the point of this is, let's just say for you have an article, maybe it's 20 paragraphs long, and maybe for 10 of those paragraphs, you write 3 or 4 alternative versions of that, and you write 3 or 4 different versions of your first paragraph and 3 or 4 versions of your last paragraph. And the system guides you through that, so it's actually easier than that sounds.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to do that. Now what happens is they put it in kind of this little mixer thingy and they spit it out all over the web, and you get these articles that are unique and they are very different and they are all over the place. So then let's just say that one of those articles that you have put through Submit Your Article goes on to like articlesbase.com, and you didn't have to go over and do that. It submits these things for you. And you can then take that article from Articles Base along with your resource box, and maybe you go over and you can make a Squidoo lens about that and use it to drive traffic back to your own site or to whatever it is you want people to know about. And another version of your article goes maybe to like easeonarticles.com, and again, you didn't have to submit it separately. It was all done through Submit Your Article. And that article, maybe you say, well, I'm going to scoop that article and the resource box and go put it onto my blog.
Mm-hmm.
And use it as a blog post. And then maybe another version of it goes to some different article directory. And so you say, well, I'm going to make a hub page on using that one. So you scoop up the code, go over and make a hub page, add a couple of pictures and, you know, a couple of links, and boom, there you go, and let that drive traffic to your site. So in other words, you can then scoop these versions of the articles and use them for different things. In fact, you might even scoop them up and create a book, which is what I did just to prove how fast and easy it could be to publish. And the book I did using that method is called That Was Easy, The Busy Entrepreneur's Guide for How to Write a Book Fast.
All right.
So you can do that. So anyway, submityourarticle.com, it will take you you know, let's say you spend a half hour to an hour writing your article and about another hour to use the article leverage, but then you get a whole bunch, a huge bunch of unique versions of your article that the search engines will not get upset about duplicate content because they are substantially different.
Okay.
And that makes your life so much easier. That's how I produce. I need to produce about 4 articles a month for different things, for you and for other places. And so that's how I make that all happen and make sure I have plenty of fresh content.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I know that we're getting to a point where we need to open things up for questions. But before I do that, I'd like to ask you, is there anything else that you've got up your sleeve to help us become profitable in 2011?
Well, I mean, I guess the biggest things I can say are do as much as you can to leverage your time and your expertise. A lot of these things I've been talking about are leverage.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that no matter what you write, there is no reason in the world you cannot have something up on Kindle like this month if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be long, you know. So get something up there. And if for no other reason than just to prove that you're an author with something on Amazon, it's worth it for that. You know, if you can get some great sales and leads, that's even better. But
okay.
Certainly be able to do that, and that will help you get profitable. And just remember that your book is a doorway to all the other great things that you are doing and that you are offering.
All right. Now, you have some training that you offer, too, as well, don't you, that some of our listeners might be interested in some of your programs that you have?
I definitely have all kinds of things for you, and one of them is because I know I love to help people get off to a really great start. This is a new year. A lot of people have been sitting here going, well, listen, all of 2010, I said I wanted to publish a book or publish stories or whatever, and I just never got to and never got it done, and I don't want this to be another year just like last year where nothing happened and nothing got done and, you know, whatever. So I put together this really special package, and you'll see there's a big, excuse me, Molly, I'm sorry, you'll see there's a big link to it on the page for this webinar, or you can go to profitablestorytelling.com/NABBW offer, and that's all in lowercase.
Okay.
Profitablestorytelling.com/NABBW offer. And that is a program that's the easy write and publish program. So I show you 5 of the very easiest ways to write a book. I talked about scooping up articles, so that's already one of them. But actually, there's 6 in there because I added another one. So there's 6, not 5. It only says 5 on the website. So there's 6 really easy ways to write a book. I also show you how to publish on Kindle, because this way you have somebody who's done it who says, okay, you know, do this and then do that, because I will cut down a lot of that learning curve for you. You don't have to go, oh, I don't even know where to go sign up for it in the first place and, you know, go through all of that stuff. So I walk you through all of that so that you can get a book up on Kindle, and I also show you how to do the same to get a print book in your hands in about 7 days, and you'll see on the page I actually show you proof that I did this and that it definitely works.
Excellent.
And that package is really affordable because I want people to get a great start, and I know people's you know, pennies may be a little tight after the holidays or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I have this package at a special offer of $97 for people who are in the NABBW or
Excellent.
Who are on this call, even if you're not a member, but I do hope you would join.
Super. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that is wonderful, and I'm sure people might have some questions about it. I'm going to put us into interactive mode so that our guests okay. can ask some questions of you. And I also have questions that people posted to the website.
Very good.
A few people that told me they wanted to be on it, but they had conflicts with the night, so they sent in their questions in advance. So
that's why I love this service, because we mm-hmm. can have that happen, and people can still get their questions answered. Do we need to extend the call, or are we okay?
We should probably extend the call, I think.
Grab that for me, or do you want me to go in?
Right, do that at settings. No, not settings. Where do I?
I think it's on the first page there.
Can I have you do it?
Okay, I will go find that and do it. So go ahead and let's get into interactive mode, and then people can ask questions. I see we have a few more people on the phone, and I know there are also people in the webcast.
Right. So I've made you interactive. Any listener can speak up and ask Rhonda a question. Well, if we don't get anybody jumping in right away, I've got a question here, Rhonda, from Sally Jo from Milwaukee. And she,
okay.
In your opinion, what is the most profitable book promotion venue you can think of?
Gosh, I don't think that anyone is wise to put your eggs in one basket, so to say. I think you really have to expect that you're going to do more than one thing. So, you know, again, you're either going to pay with time or money for everything that you happen to do. Okay, that's just how it goes. So you can throw a lot of money at something and have a lot less of the work, or you can do a lot more of the work and, you know, throw less money at it. But one way or the other, you're going to be investing in it one, you know, in some fashion. So, you know, that's just something that's important to, you know, to realize. So as far as which one you're going to want to do, I would say definitely use a combination. You're just going to have to. You want some social marketing. Don't forget the offline stuff, though. And if you have ways to get the word out in other ways, like I have use a service called Send Out Cards, and one of the things I'm about to do, and I can let you know my results once I have that data, but I'm about to send a blast. I have a database of places that do catalog sales, and I know of if finding the ones that my book would be great for, I'm just going to send them a card with my book cover. So they're going to get it. It's going to look like a greeting card, and they'll be able to then open that up, and they'll be able to decide if they want some more information, and I'll be sure that they know how to do that. So it's really pretty exciting.
Excellent. Now, what do you? I know you've done book signings, you know, where you go to a bookstore or a retail store of some sort where you can find some kind of a tie-in to your book and you know, invite people to come and meet you and buy a book and have you sign it. What do you think of that as a promotion venue?
I think that's great, but, you know, just got to realize, just like anything else, that has to get promoted somehow. So I've been at book signings where there haven't been very many people. I've also been at ones where they make you stand behind the table, which is just awful because, you know, it's just not as easy. If you can't go and rustle people up, so to speak, you have to expect them to find you, and then sometimes they put you off in the back or some really weird place, and you're like, well, gee, thanks, that's just great.
Mm-hmm.
So that's great. It's fine to do that, and it's a good idea. But just remember that you're going to be doing some of the promotion, and you're going to want to try to get notices in the, you know, in the paper in any place that'll do those kinds of announcements for you. If you can leverage that on top of being on local TV or something else, that's going to be all the better for you.
All right. Well, definitely I think one of the things that authors don't realize is that we actually have to do a lot of the promotion ourselves. Even if you're a big name author, I think you still have to, you know, go out and do those book tours yourself. You know, you're putting in time and miles in order to, you know, go on one of those big book promotion tours. Even if you're famous, that's still, you know, taking time out of your life to do that. So I've got a question similar from Barbara in Raleigh, who said, I self-published my book. What is the best way to market it? And I think, you know, we've talked about that there's really, I think you're saying, no one best way to market it.
Yeah, I wish I could say you put your quarter in the slot over here and boom, you're promoted. You've got to really think with the mind of a marketer. And if, no matter what, how you publish, doesn't matter how you publish or who you are, it's that you're going to be either paying someone a lot of money or putting in the legwork. So carrying your books with you, you know, doing things online and offline. If you are a part of a book club or a community of some type, involve those people. I mean, that's what marketing of books is, a whole other call that could be done. And there are, if you look on profitablestorytelling.com under the resources, I do have various tools, resources for authors or writers' resources. and there are some things for promotion. It's just not something I can, you know, say just swallow the blue pill and you're there.
Right.
So I'm really sorry.
Anybody from our live audience with a question? Oh, don't be shy.
Oh, my goodness. What do you think we're going to do, bite you?
This is Molly.
Yes.
Oh, all right, great.
Hi. I came in just like 10 minutes ago. I'm in Colorado and couldn't make that 6 o'clock time. I thought I could, but I didn't. So I have missed all of this information. So my question is there a recording of this that I'll be able to listen to later?
Yes, Molly. I sent you an email that told you that we're recording the call and we'll get a copy of the recording to you.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing. It's all recorded, so you can listen to it and you know, again and again, and get all that information so that you will definitely have it.
Okay.
Thank you. I'm excited here, Molly. So thank you for coming for a few minutes. I just love being able to connect with people live. I mean, for me, that's kind of big fun. So,
once I listen to that show, Rhonda, are you still available for questions to email you?
I do calls about every month, and if you email me a question, that's great, but the chances are really good that I will. Oops, excuse me, Molly. I'm sorry. I didn't know you were right there. And I didn't hurt you either, silly. I touched the fringe of her fur and she squeaked. Sorry. Anyway, I do things every month where I do live calls for people. And if I took email questions from everybody and just answered them, that would be like all I would do. But I do make sure that questions get answered. So, you know, I will sometimes answer questions. I'll put them in blog posts. And so if you go to profitablestorytelling.com, I have a whole writing category. I have a whole category called How to Write a Book. And, you know, so a lot of times there are some great things there in between. And when I answer questions, a lot of times they become blog posts and videos and, you know, whatever, so that I can leverage your question, because a lot of other people probably have the same one.
Mm-hmm. Great. Okay. Thanks.
Yeah. What else came through the question box, Ann?
Well, let's see. We've got Carmen from New Haven who said, do you think it is necessary to get a book published professionally and have an agent to help you, or is self-publishing the way to go today?
I'm a big fan of self-publishing, and that's really the primary thing that I've done. I do have a small house publisher where I still retain the rights for I'll Push You Steer and also for the Instant VIP. And to be honest, I really like the control of total self-publishing because I can get more categories on Amazon and do all these other types of things. So I don't think you need an agent or publisher. Just realize, like anything else, there are pros and cons. By self-publishing, you can get a book out in as little time as a week if you want. Traditional publishing, unless you're like the center of a sex scandal or something, can take 2 years. Mm-hmm. And can take a lot of time, and you may have to be writing a book proposal, and you may have to be, you know, figuring out if someone's going to be your agent. Most publishers don't take you if you don't have an agent and all this other, you know, kind of stuff that comes part and parcel with it. So just be aware of there are pros and cons, but I'm really all for this self-publishing.
It's
a wonderful era to live in, to have that, and to not have to spend you know, $10,000 or $12,000 or $5,000 or $1,000 or even $100, you can really self-publish several places very affordably or for free. So,
excellent. Anybody else from the audience? All right. Well, you might be mulling over what your question is. I've got another question here, Rhonda. From this comes from Susan Santangelo, who is an author who's got a imprint called Baby Boomer Mysteries, and she's written her first book, Retirement Can Be Murder, which she says is selling well. She's in her third printing, and she has a second book in the series, Moving Can Be Murder, that's due out in the spring. But she's wanting to know, do you have any tips for marketing the book and making sure it reaches the largest audience possible? And then she goes on and says, for instance, how does a book get selected for review by Publishers Weekly or Kirkus?
Okay, I don't know the answer to the Publishers Weekly or the other thing that you mentioned, so I cannot help you there. as far as getting your book out to the widest audience, you go, okay, my book's a mystery. In this case, that's what you have, is a mystery. Mm-hmm. So where do mystery readers hang out? And so there are places, probably forums, where mystery readers hang out. There even, you know, I'll tell you, here's just a little insider secret for anybody, even if you haven't written a book yet, but go and comment on Amazon.com. They have these reader forums. Anytime that your book is on Amazon, then it's tagged. Maybe it's tagged Cozy Mystery or Cozy or whatever, or, you know, Mystery or any way that it's tagged. Every one of those tags has its own little tag community based around it. So go into the Cozy tag on your book or on anybody's book and start interacting in the forum. And the other thing is that on Amazon, you can review a book. Maybe you review 10 other Cozies. And when you do that review, there's actually a button for you to add an Amazon product.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to, like, on my page on Amazon.com, I just put it at profitablestorytelling.com/Amazon, and you'll see that when I've reviewed a book, I will say author of, and I'll, whatever books I had written and published on Amazon at the time, those names will be there as clickable links to the books. So there's a lot of things you can do, even on Amazon and their forums there, and by reviewing books that are either cozies or things other people might like to read, or, you know, whatever it is that you happen to do, all of that stuff can help you. Knowing where mystery readers hang out, if there is a playhouse near you that does a mystery theater, like we have a place that does it once a week, it's like a progressive dinner mystery theater type of thingy, and if I had a mystery, I would be trying to get them to sell that book as part of it, or I would try to develop a script based around my book and have performers do it,
mm-hmm.
or whatever. So think of where mystery readers or whatever you write readers hang out and go hang out with them. If they read a particular publication, if they hang out at a particular coffee shop, if there's a mystery book club in your area or any kind of book club in your area, offer to speak to them. You know, and now because of technology, you can offer to speak to any book club in the world. You can just connect to them via conference phone.
Mm-hmm. Now, so, one thing that I've noticed is I live like you do in a small community. You know, we're not a place that even has buses or, you know,
right.
trains or anything like that. So, you know,
right.
it's a small community. It happens to be a tourist-related community, and I think there may be some tourism near to where you are too, Rhonda. So
near me, not in my direct area, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
But nearby, you have the
right.
I can't remember the name of it, but you have some.
I live near Branson, Missouri, so
right,
there's lots of tourism.
That's what it is. Lots of tourism in Branson. What I've noticed is there's a couple of authors here in Galena. Actually, there's a lot of authors in Galena. Galena is a haven of creative people. So we have a lot of artists
uh-huh.
and authors who live here. But there's a couple of authors who I see that what they've done is they've got their books by the cash register at various different shops in town. So
yep,
seems to be, you know, kind of maybe they're looking for impulse purchases kind of a thing. And it seems to me that they wouldn't be doing it if it didn't work.
Yeah, in fact, and that can work. If you have a good relationship with somebody and if the book is a good fit, you can also offer if you have a little local coffee shop or something, go, listen, how about if I come in here on a such-and-so date, like a Saturday at 2 p.m. when they're normally kind of slow,
mm-hmm.
and you say, if you will let me come and have like a little reading from my book, just short, 15, 20 minutes, and then like a book signing or a little chat, whatever, I'll encourage people to buy, you know, food and coffee and whatever. They'll have to buy that themselves from you, but I will... promote to the local newspaper, the local radio stations. I'll send a press release, make some calls, whatever, and make sure that this can then help bring traffic to your restaurant. And I will sell books, and you will sell, you know, cake and coffee and whatever else people want to order off of the menu.
Mm-hmm.
That type of thing, I was all set to do that for one place, except that they closed. But, but yeah, you can do those kinds of things, and especially if you have a book. Now, I wouldn't try to do that with my business book unless that was to a business community. If you have a business-related book, though, if there's networking groups, you can do that. The other thing, meetups. If you go to meetups.com, there are meetup groups all over the place. I know of an author who wrote a book that's kind of in the law of attraction, self-improvement milieu. Mm-hmm. And he has spoken to, I think, 6 or 8 different meetup groups in within driving distance of him. And it works for him because he can drive. So, you know, I haven't tried that one yet. I don't drive.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's doing that and finding it very successful. And he has just a small book. So he'll offer to send a copy of his little booklet to the, not the proprietor, but whatever the leader of the group is, and offer to come and speak to them. And so that's another way if you have meetup groups. Well, people love novels. And so if you want to talk about either do a reading or share some useful information, I don't know, 5 ways to kill people without really trying or whatever, in the scene, and be able to do some speaking. So all of those things, no matter what you do, is find out who likes what you write and hang out where they hang out.
What about
that's
the
kind of it?
Recording, having a friend bring a flip phone, a flip camera, record your reading, and then posting that on places like.
Oh yeah. I did that. In fact, my publisher did the recording. I have a video on YouTube of me doing Just Growl and Read It from I'll Push You Steer, and I handed him, I said, here, just record me doing this reading. And it wasn't the perfect recording, but it worked, and you could hear me. And now I have that as a sample to show, here is me as an onstage speaker, and I had people in hysterical laughter and all kinds of good things. So, yeah, I mean, a flip camera or flip phone type of thing. There are so many easy ways to record nowadays. It's just amazing. And if nothing else, get yourself a little audio recorder if you have a smart pen, you can use that. And at least record the audio, because you can even add that and a picture of yourself holding your book or whatever and even turn that into a video. So all kinds of things, online and off. Find out who wants what you've got and go hang out with them.
All right.
When I feed chickens, I go to them where they are, and I put the food down, and they're swarming all over me. That's the same idea that you want with your books.
Excellent. All right. How about more questions from our live audience?
Let's go. And I did extend the call just in case, so we are extended, and
I did
not under the gun.
Oh, you did that. So great.
Okay.
So we have time here. People on the call, we'd love to have your questions. I've got a couple more, but I'd really like to hear some from the people that are listening.
Oh, and that would really be awesome. I had a question that somebody had tweeted to me earlier because they weren't going to be able to be on the call and not they're live anyway. So I said, well, okay, I guess that works as well as the question box. So
sure.
Anyway, the question that she wrote to me was about places online to get paid to write or paid to produce content. There's one called helium.com, spelled just like helium is normally spelled.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that that's one place, and I know there are several others that are like that. And so if you're looking for, this is not to get into a magazine, but it's to be paid to write online content.
Mm-hmm.
There are several places like that. So I'm going to put together a list and put it onto the blog because I think there's a good need for that. On ProfitableStorytelling.com, under resources, I have lists of things. I have a list of press release submission sites.
Mm-hmm.
That free and paid. I have a list of article submission sites. I don't have these get paid to write sites yet that are reputable, but you know, various types of things. I have a whole page in there about protecting your intellectual property so that you know how to protect your copyrights. And these are all pages under resources on ProfitableStorytelling.com. And so this way, whatever, if you check that out, or there is a, you know, like a search box.
Mm-hmm.
Right under the feather on the right there. And if you're looking for something, you'll easily be able to find it that way as well. And so I try to put together the kind of things that writers would be really interested in and would find helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So Helium's the one I can think of for the get paid to write online content.
Okay. Anyone else? All right. Well, I have one more question that I will ask, and then if nobody else speaks up, I guess we might start winding this up, Rhonda. But this is an interesting one. Might take you a while to answer this one. Can a journal become a book, and should it?
Okay, so that's a really great question, and I love that. So here's the thing about journals and personal memoirs, is you have to determine whether you're drinking your own Kool-Aid, meaning whether you're just into your own stuff a whole lot, or whether it's the kind of stuff that somebody else wants to read. How do you know that if it's your private journal? Well, one thing that I might do is type up a section, a few pages or whatever type of section you might have, you know, and show it to some people that you trust to be really honest with you. And, you know, depending if whether it's humorous or whether it's poignant or whatever, and just say, look, you know, I'm trying to figure out if there's a market for this, and I know I trust you to give me an honest answer, and if you think this sucks, I don't want you to say it's beautiful and people would, you know, pay $5 million for it or something. And if you can find an honest answer, that might be one way to do that. The other thing is, if you can take any piece of that and turn it into some kind of an article, either one that you put on your blog or into article directories, or even try to get published, if you have some kind of a response to it, that will give you some indication. Mm-hmm. So the should it, you know, there's a lot of these things where it's like, I wish I could say yes or no, right or wrong, on or off, just do this, put the quarter in the slot, and out comes marketing, you know, whatever. So what you have to do to figure out, is this something that's worthy? Is it the kind of thing that other people are going to find interesting, funny, poignant, or whatever? And so you can, in software, they call it beta testing, is that you have a version of your software. That's why we have, you know, Windows this and Windows that. These are all different versions, and they all have beta testers at first.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to beta test your possible book and find out, are there people interested in this? Look on the market. Look on Amazon. Amazon and eBay are great places to figure out the pulse of the market.
Mm-hmm.
And why? Because those are places for buyers. You know, blogs and article things, those can be places for looky-loos. But if someone's on Amazon, usually you're there with your credit card in hand or nearby.
Mm-hmm.
If you're on eBay, you may be looking at first, but your total intention is to buy.
Right.
Same thing with Amazon. So if you say, well, my journal is kind of like this, and you start to poke around and you notice there really aren't books like that, you know, kind of wonder, and then maybe check with some beta testers, try to publish a piece of it. You know, any of those things will really help you to figure out. Because for anything, just remember, all of you, no matter what you write, there's still a lot of, you have to market it yourself. Even if you did get Doubleday or somebody to publish it,
mm-hmm.
they are still, the big traditional publishers, they won't even take you on if you don't already have a following anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Not the big ones. You know, you might get a small house to publish you because they'll publish almost anything, but they really want you to have a following, okay? And so you're going to have to either market or pay it done.
Mm-hmm.
One way or the other, pay with sweat equity or with money. You're going to have to make sure that it gets marketed. Right. So that being said, if it's something that people want to read, and if you are willing to put the time and effort into then following through with building the community around that, then the answer is that that could be something that'll go. The big test is always going to be, you serve it up to the type of person who's going to read it, serve up a sample at least, and see if they bite.
Mm-hmm.
And if people start going, yeah, I just don't care, you know, whatever, then you may not have something that's going to hit. And it is going to take you plenty of time and effort to go into it.
Okay. Well, what if you had a thought occurred to me while you were telling this? And what if, you know, I had a journal. I've never kept a journal, but so this is all hypothetical. But, you know,
right.
I had a journal, and I was looking through it, and I discovered that, you know, I had written a post way back in my teen years when, you know, I had talked about my first date, for example, how it went, you know. And then what if I say, well, you know, the whole concept of a first date is, you know, it's kind of a watershed experience for people. And so what if I would just try to put together a book that's kind of like that, the order of the book that you were telling us, that the book that you were a contributor to with the 365 authors.
Yeah.
What if I decide I would like to recruit a whole bunch of people to tell the story of their first date, and then we put together a book that's just first date stories. How would I go about finding people to participate?
Well, okay, so if you wanted to do a first dates book, and I think that could be a lot of fun, well, one of the things I would want to do is to find somebody who has somewhat of an established following or somewhat of a name already, and ask them if they would be willing to be sort of your, you know, like your core person who already has that following. I'm a contributor in a number of books, and one of these days I'm going to stack them all up on a table and take a picture of them, because I'm a contributor and I think about a dozen books as well as the ones that I've published myself. And the publisher that has done some of them, what he did was he had, you know, a couple of authors who had written scads of books and who already had a following. And pretty much, you know, if these guys had their name on a book, their people would buy it. And so he got them to be like the cornerstone. And then they invited other people to contribute. And, you know, there's a lot of ways to do that. In this particular case, it was sort of a competition. You could submit your story and they would, you know, choose 12 stories or whatever, and you had length requirements and all that. So, you know, that type of thing is one way to go about it. Get someone to be that cornerstone person so that your book about first dates already has somebody who is a relationship expert in there. Or, you know, if you could get the millionaire matchmaker to tell something about first dates or how to have a successful first date or tell her first date experience or whatever. Or if you could have any relationship expert or a cat screaming at you. Yes, Trippy, I do hear you. So any of that would work. And then as far as where else are you going to find contributors? Well, there's like chickensoupforthesoul.com, I think is the site for the chicken soup books. They have a submission form, and you could easily make that either with an autoresponder or, I don't know if you know this, but you can go to Google Docs. I think it's docs.google.com, and create a form that's that could have all these different things. It might have, you know, name and email and whatever else, phone number and your submission and whatever, and you could actually take submissions from people, select the ones that you wanted. So you can do it that way. I would think the best way to leverage it would be get somebody who's kind of a name, who would lend their credibility to it, put your story, and maybe on a blog invite people to submit their stories, and you can use like a post ratings plug-in and get star ratings on it or whatever to see what are the most popular posts. You could have it as a contest. There's lots of ways to do it. If you just put up a notice in a writing-related forum and you tell the stipulations and, you know, what's involved and whatever, you can certainly do that. Now, if you're going to do that, you can decide, is it just going to be a free-for-all or is there going to be a small fee? In the gratitude book, we all pitched in just a little to cover the cost for editing and design and, you know, and those kinds of things. It was quite minimal. So there are things that they will, they have books with big names, and some of these people are paying $3,000 and $5,000 and $20,000 to be in. And I looked at one of those. I thought, well, $20,000 for me to put a chapter into a book. And if you have 20 of those, you have a boatload of money. How much marketing are you guys really doing for this? And how much this is just, I'm paying up the wazoo for the privilege, you know? So I wouldn't do one that's like that. So, yeah, you can do that. The other thing that could be really cool, that let's say you have, and this could be either for business owners or you could probably even do it with different types of short stories, but let's say that you had like a wedding planner, a photographer, a person who rents out wedding linens, a bridal shop, a home decor place, an insurance, a life insurance salesperson, or whatever, all these different things, and they could each write a chapter that would be for new brides,
mm-hmm.
and that would each have a way to get to their website. So if you had people like that, that fit that, and where everybody could then sell or give out this book in their particular shop,
mm-hmm.
then you would all be an author. You can all get these things produced very affordably, you know, even through Amazon or whatever. There are ways to do that. So, you know, those would be some types of things, too, if you have similar people, whether it would be a dating book or whether it would be something else. I mean, even with a dating book, you could certainly get relationship experts. You can get somebody who does makeovers to, and as well as the stories of first dates, you can then have people say how to have a better dating experience.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe have someone who found their love of their life on one of the websites and how they made that successful, and someone to do something on how to write a great dating profile if you're going to use that, and, you know, as well as stories, and it could be kind of fun. So you just hand pick out those types of people that have the type of experience that you want and make it that combination of people who might put in a story on a blog or through whatever site, as well as some expert types with a following who will be willing to put their muscle behind it, because then you can pretty effortlessly get to bestseller status with it.
All right.
So I hope that kind of answers it. I think that could be a lot of fun. I mean, I really think there could be room for an NABBW book where people can put in a little bit to cover editing and whatever, and then be able to have some kind of a story around boomer lifestyle.
Oh, I think that would be fun.
Well, that could be fun. Lots of ways to do that. You have a ready-made audience because of the members, and so one of the stipulations could be being a paid member.
All right.
Be considered. So there you go. That would be worth the $75 membership for sure.
I like that idea.
Uh-huh.
Rhonda, oh. I have a question.
Yay!
Yay!
This is Molly again. If we do something that requires getting submissions from people for them to put in their own thoughts, what kind of release form and at what is needed, and at what point do they sign, yes, you can use my information and my name?
I'm glad you asked that, because it caused me to think of something else. And I'll answer that in just a second, Molly. Another thing that occurred to me for how could you find submissions, and I can't believe I didn't think to say this at first, inside of the Instant VIP, which is my book about how to write a book, I decided that I wanted to have stories of people who had successfully had gained some kind of success in their business because of being an author. That's the proper milieu for that book, was for business owners. There are services. One of them is pitchrate.com, P-I-T-C-H-R-A-T-E, pitchrate.com. And Haro, helpareporter.net. And you can put up a thing and say, I am putting together a such-and-so type of book, doesn't matter what it is, and I would like to have such-and-so type of story for this book of such-and-so length, and, you know, give whatever stipulations that you need to. And they will contact you. And then to answer your question very tidily, moving right into that, Molly, I just created a very simple release that simply said, I blank, you know, basically will agree that my story submission given to Rhonda Del Baccio is allowed to be used inside of her upcoming book, blah, blah, blah. I will know that I understand that I will receive no financial compensation for this. I will receive my name and website in the submission and my name in the acknowledgments, you know, something along those lines. And they just had to sign it and either fax it or mail it or scan and email it or whatever back to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a very simple release, no big deal, and as long as they signed that. Now, I did have one person who sent me her thing, and then when I said yes, this would be great, I'd love to have this one, I sent her the thing, and she goes, oh, no, I changed my mind, I don't want it in your book. And I'm like, oh, you mean you don't want some, you know, kind of free mention of your stuff? Well, okay, that's all right, no problem. So then there was no question about her then being PO'd that she was in my book or whatever, because she didn't sign the release, so she just wasn't in there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a big deal. It was like a paragraph, so it's not like you have to go into any big long, drawn-out legalese blah, blah, blah for 40 pages.
Yeah. Okay.
So, you know, once you've said, yes, I want your whatever, I don't think you need to have the release before that, you know, but once you say, yes, I want to use this, and then you're just stipulating how. So if they cannot, if you're going to pay them or whatever it is, you know, then you tell them how much. If they're not being paid, just make sure that that type of stuff is in your little paragraph so that they realize they're not being compensated. However, they do get the recognition of having their story in the book, and you can say, and potentially on the website and other promotional materials, which leaves you freedom if you want to post that blurb on the blog or, you know, whatever else it might happen to be in promotion of your book.
Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you.
Yep, and easy, which is also nice. I like that. And I do like using, you know, those services. So, and back to your first date thing, if you really wanted to do a first date book, there's no reason you couldn't use Haro and Pitch Rate and things like that. And
uh-huh.
just tell the type of story and length that you wanted.
All right. Well, I just made that up on the spot, but you know, it's an interesting concept, and I'm glad you like
it. Oh, yeah.
I think it's an emotional thing. Everybody's got a first date story, I think. So, you know,
yes.
probably...
you can decide if you want funny stories or whatever. I mean, when you said first date, I'm like, oh, yeah, I was already kind of laughing to myself because I had a really funny first date thing going on. So
uh-huh.
it is one of those things people will remember.
Right. Okay, well, I'm going to wrap this up unless anybody who's in the listening audience would like to pop in now and ask their question.
Or we can refresh the queue and see if there's another you know, written question as well.
I will do that. I checked a few minutes ago, but it's worth checking one more time.
Just in case somebody decided. And while you're doing that, I just want to remind people that if you decide that 2011 and maybe even this season or this month or the first half of the year or sooner than later that you'd like to get yourself published, and whether that's, you know, in Kindle type format or in print or both, the special program that I have is, I call it the Easy Write and Publish Package, because I show you a half dozen really simple ways to get a book put together quickly. The example I gave on the call earlier was collecting some of your own articles, and there are other things like writing a tips book is another one, and I show you the steps to how to make that really easy and fun.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and actually, we've talked about another one that's slipped in here in the call, too, just in the course of some of the questions. So you'll have all of those with videos and with text and sometimes even audios that help walk you through it. And then I'll show you a really fast and easy way to get published for free in print. And I'll also walk you through the whole Kindle thing so that you can get your book up onto Kindle. And I'll show you, you know, those things so that you can make it as easy as possible with as little learning curve as possible.
Oh, I'm
and Rhonda, are you saying that all of this is posted on your ProfitableStorytelling.com? Or is it in the
No, the web link I was just about to give you again is at ProfitableStorytelling.com/ NABBW offer, and that's in lowercase, or there's a link right on this page. I just wanted to make sure I had a verbally pronounceable link. There's also a big link on the page that goes along with this call where you can also click and get to the same place. And so that
okay.
will get you that package for $97. And
gotcha.
There is
okay.
loads of information on my blog, but as far as this is where you're going to get walked right through it, and it's very easy. You can select what type of book you want. There's even some questions that help you establish a goal. By when? And when you have to see that in print and go, oh, I said this date, it's rapidly approaching. I better get off my desk. You know, you'll have all those tools there for you as well. And sometimes I poke in, because it's in a kind of an online journal, sometimes I poke in there and I look and I go, hey, you said you wanted to publish by January 11th, and I'm not seeing any action here. What's up? You know. You may get a poke from me every once in a while. And
well,
plus,
glad.
I do a call every month for you know, coaching clients and customers and whatever, so you'll be into all of that as well.
Great.
Now,
I had a number of questions that came in new on the.
Oh, I love it.
One of them
yeah.
was Teresa in Nashville, and I think she was just asking about what you were just talking about, because she said, what is offer web address for a sys to get up on Kindle, $97. So I think she's talking about
that's it.
that profitablestorytelling.com/NABBW offer.
NABBW offer, or you can click the big red button on the page that goes along with this webinar if you're listening through that. Either way, it's going to get you to the same place, just whether you're on the phone or that way you can find it. So, yep, that's the place.
And
we can get you started right away.
All right. Then Marilyn Slaby from Wilsonville said, when you want to quote someone or something you've read, what type of permission do you have to obtain, or would it all just be easier to rephrase the concept you read? Now, I know you talked a little bit about permission for quoting people, but Marilyn's also asking about something
right, well,
that's
read. Different. Marilyn, that's an awesome question. And so if you want to just mention, you know, a couple of sentences or something, for the most part, you can just, you can use a quote from somebody. Like in my first book, I'll Push You Steer, we have a quote like on every chapter. And to just use a quote, as long as you say Abraham Lincoln or, you know, whoever it was said it, that's fine. If you start getting into larger chunks, then you tend to need to get permission from the publisher. And the chances are real good, if it's very much, they won't give that to you. So it just depends on how much. Now, using a sentence or two will be fine. And so that's really going to be the best thing I can tell you is, if it's a whole lot, you're going to want to rephrase it, maybe send people to that book. If it's just a couple sentences, you're cool. It's great to say, you know, you got a certain concept from somebody, and then here's a quote, and put your own thoughts in. So just be judicious with that, and just realize you wouldn't want anyone, you know, just wildly quoting huge chunks of your stuff, and be aware of that with others. And that when there are published works, if they are under copyright, meaning if they're published anywhere in the last 70 years, you do tend to need permission, and it's usually from the publisher, because typically in traditional publishing, the publishers have all rights. Okay, so I hope that helps. And there is, on profitablestorytelling.com, there's a, under resources, and there is a page on protecting your intellectual property. So for questions about your own stuff, you can see that page. I basically, you know, kind of tell people about copyright.gov, where you can find out all the copyright laws. So that's copyright.gov. And I do have trademark info and all that stuff on there for people who need that.
Excellent. Well, if you got time for one more comment.
I think so. How's our time clock doing, Ann? I'm not at my computer right this minute. Are we still okay there?
We have 55 seconds left, so I guess we...
Why don't you send us just so we have enough, and then we'll answer the next question.
Okay.
We may not be able to quite finish in 48 seconds. So.
All right.
Okay, go ahead now.
Okay.
Glad I checked. I thought we were getting close.
Right. Let's see. Now I lost the question here. I'll get back to the question.
I know. Flipping back and forth.
Quick comment from Sally. She says, I understand and agree with your recommendation not to talk out your book, but sometimes telling a story or giving a talk can fine-tune your story before writing. Feedback from audiences can be invaluable.
Yeah, it's the are you talking yourself out of it type of thing. I do love to get ideas from somebody. I may say, hey, I'm thinking about such and so situation that's in my story. You don't have to tell the whole story to get there and maybe get an idea from somebody. That part's fine. I, you know, just be aware. I do so many